just declare your goodness today. We declare your greatness. We declare from the depths of our heart. We sing with a loud voice to you, declaring your goodness, your faithfulness, your loving kindness, your tender mercies. We thank you for it, Father, for the revelation of who you are to us. And Father, we set ourselves to live and bring glory to your name, to glorify you by allowing your Holy Spirit to work through us. And Father, in our appreciation and love for you, we stand here today with the offering of our praise to you,
yes,
our honor to you for all that you've done and for who you are. Now, Father, we set ourselves to allow the Holy Spirit's ministry to wash over us, to cleanse us with your word, hallelujah. Lord, to bring impartation of strength, an impartation of understanding and wisdom, that we might walk, Lord, as Jesus walked on the earth, who is our example. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit flowing among us today in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Well, I have a word to share with you today. I was going to share last week, but wasn't able to. But I want to begin with 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1, and I'm going to kind of cover a lot of a perspective here. So bear with me in the beginning, and we get to the really good stuff at the end. But it says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, over the years, I used to wonder at times, well, what all falls in the line of doctrine of devils? And you know, people can think would be this or that, but we always need to look for our answers from the Word, not just out of our own thinking or out of our own, you know, what we think our own imagination would be of something, but what the Word of God was saying. The answers in the Word, we're going to look at that, but I want to first draw attention that he makes mention many in the latter times will be departing from the faith. And that's only going to increase because of increased pressure. And as we were looking at the Hebrew epistle recently, that addresses that. Many were departing from walking with the Lord because of the persecution and pressure. So Paul wrote that letter to them to bring the revelation of the fullness of the ministry of Jesus as high priest, which would enable them to have what they needed to walk through all of that. Now, he says they depart giving heed to something. Whether what brings you to the place to depart what God has for you or where he wants you is going to come back to what are you listening to. To give heed, to pay close attention and listen. Now, sometimes people are kind of like hearing you, but they're not really paying close attention. It's kind of interesting. You see that with little children. You know, they can be, you can be trying to give them instruction and they're, you know, playing with a toy or whatever. But sometimes you find they actually are listening. They're just had this distraction going on. And sometimes they might act like they're listening and they didn't hear a word you said. So, you know, we have to really pay close attention, and that expression is given various places in the Scripture as far as taking heed to the Word, taking heed to the Holy Spirit, or listen very closely. Are we really hearing what he's saying? What is he really saying? Now, we can hear a message shared, and you hear certain things, but the important things are we hearing what the Spirit of God's trying to say? I'm not as interested if someone can repeat what I said, but were they hearing the Spirit of God speak to them through it all? Now, hopefully what I was sharing supports all of that, But you know, you can hear things and not really hear what's really being said. In relationships, many times that exists, where someone's trying to express their heart, but because of outward things, people aren't really hearing their heart. They hear the words, but they're not really hearing the meaning of it. That's why it's important to have with communication where you not only hear their words, but you see their expression, their countenance. All of these things are tone of voice. It all comes into play with communicating something from the heart. And sometimes people have things within them that it's difficult for them to share. They're kind of struggling or reaching for the right words. But as we tune in, we can really hear that. So to listen very, very closely is so important. One of the things that it fascinates me is just how dogs we've had and the one we have now will listen closely to their master for instruction. At least this breed we have will. And Donna's the master, the one we have now. And it was interesting. I know the one time we had Josiah over, and you know she was sort of keeping her eyes on him, but her eyes were on Donna and listening for every word out of her mouth the whole time. And I remember that when the owner, the breeder we bought her from, we went, he got the mother out, and she's running around. And she wasn't paying a lick of attention to us as strangers on the property. Her attention was only on the master. And whatever he said, when he gave a command, she did that. She was listening closely. So if an animal can do that, We all rise above that and be all the more so with our Heavenly Father, with our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to hear what He's saying to us. So it says there in Hebrews 3, when He speaks today, or at this point, to take heed, don't harden your heart. Because sometimes people say, yeah, I know, I know, I know. Well, that's a sign you don't know. I know, I know, I know. Oh, I heard that scripture before. I know, I know, I know. Well, you're not going to really hear what the Spirit of God would want to say to you when you think, even begin to think that. That's a dangerous thought. So we need to pay close attention to the Spirit of God, which is by His Word, first and foremost, and then to the voice of the Spirit speaking in our spirit, and to the witness of Him speaking through others as well. But we have to realize we could be listening to a devil and not realize it. And his voice will be very subtle, very, very, very subtle in the beginning. Sometimes people wonder, how did someone end up so far off course and do something like a vile sin? How did they end up there? Well, it started somewhere. They began listening to an evil spirit. Now, that being said, I want to go to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to go through this whole chapter. It's vitally important you understand Genesis 3, really to understand the rest of the Bible. I won't cover every verse, but there are certain things I want to bring out here, and I will start verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, right here, I need to stop. When we read, especially like in Genesis, different parts of the Bible, especially the book of Revelation, we have to understand some things are literal and some things are figurative. And a failure to differentiate leads to wrong interpretations. So the common interpretation is that a snake came walking through the garden. I pose to you to consider today, that's incorrect. The word serpent here doesn't even really, in Hebrew, doesn't even really mean snake. It's a bright and shining one, is actually what that means. And Satan, as mentioned over in Ezekiel 28, He was over the worship and was filled with beauty, and was covered with all these precious stones, pearls and diamonds and all, you know, the precious stones. He was covered with them, and there was a beauty about him that was seen on the outside. Okay? There was a great beauty there. That's the one who came to Eve and Adam. It wasn't a literal snake, but rather the shining one, the one who appeared in beauty. So it says in 2 Corinthians, he can come as an angel of light. See, that corresponds. We correspond also with Ezekiel 28. Now, he's more subtle than any beast, or actually the beast means a living creature. More subtle. He's very, very subtle. He doesn't just come out of the blue and say, go commit a mass murder. That's not how it works. Very subtle, little thoughts at first, little thoughts. And as Adam was instructed to guard the garden, we need to guard our heart from these things, as our heart being as a garden where seeds are planted and something's going to grow out of it. Our heart is a garden. Now, things can be planted there to bring good fruit, or it can be bad fruit. But it's up to us to guard it as Adam was supposed to guard that the garden. And Satan began to put these thoughts in there. Again, we must be very, very observant and cautious relative to this, because seeds can begin to come in, and then he waters them, and they get germinated and sprout out, and then there's the fruit of it. It's like if somebody deals with imagination sexually about someone outside of their marriage, if you let those things there, you'll end up committing the act. And there'll be devil sure as the day is long to set you up. But that'll build in the mind, and you begin to think, oh, you have a little disagreement. Oh, there's somebody better. Oh, that person there would be better. When relationally, you have to walk in love, okay? And every human being has faults. If there's this idea in the world, you're going to find this perfect person, well, find Jesus. He's the only one perfect. But people will begin to entertain thoughts, and that's how someone ends up in that place of, say, adultery. It started back with seed. They weren't guarding their heart. Now, whether it be something like sexual sin, which is a very common thing out there, or violence, or whatever it might be, lust for money and things, or whatever it might be, it's going to start with these thoughts. These thoughts. Now, you could drive down along the ocean front and see $5 million homes and think, oh, I wish I had that, and allow a seed of envy. Oh, that's probably an evil guy that owns that. He doesn't deserve it. I should have it. And you let envy stir in your heart. Before you know it, you're marching on Occupy Wall Street, hating people with wealth, rather than saying, praise God, they're blessed. See, that's what love would do. Praise God, they're blessed. That's how you thwart those kind of thoughts. Rejoice that someone else is blessed. Well, they have more than me. Well, we have all blessings in Christ. God wants to bless you too. He might bless you in a different way, but we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to others relative to blessing. Our blessings foremost are in spirit, but then as we walk with him, he'll bless us in the natural too. So my point is, you could do something like drive along there and these seed thoughts start entering in, because you're seeing a bunch of it. And the devil starts talking. And again, this can go towards anything. But my point here to stress is that the devil's very subtle. Now, when it comes to things that he would endeavor to exalt a person to enter into demonic things, that's very subtle. Like, for example, you can get into martial arts where there's a demonic realm. But initially, what's good exercise, you can defend yourself. Like, it opposes something good, but behind it is something more sinister. And it's like that with many, many things the enemy would try to bring people into. You know, try and make it look real good, but the place it's going to lead you is into sin. But he starts out a little bit, if he just said, I'm going to lead you that I can overtake your soul, or that you can be a drug addict and destroy your life, doesn't that sound great? Oh yeah, devil, let's do it. No, it's very, very subtle. Oh, you can get high and you can have this, and oh my, that feels good. Yeah, you, it's not affecting you. You're fine. You've got control. That's always one of the lies. You've got control of this. Sin left in the heart will always overtake. It might be some time. And it always begins subtle. So he says to the woman, hath God said, yea, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Now, in bringing a key thing out here, we need to understand that Satan will try to use the word of God to begin to lead you off, or something that's true. Now, we know truth by him, but just because you handle a truth doesn't mean the enemy's not using that to lead you somewhere. And that's a point where someone who's lacking understanding or maturity is easily trapped. Well, I see this, or I see that. I think this or that. Maybe they can quote some scriptures off. But they're not complete in their view of truth relative to what they're looking at. So Satan uses what God said in part, and Eve did not have the fullness of what God said. She added something to it. Now, Adam, God didn't speak when Eve was with Adam. He spoke to Adam, and Adam related it to Eve. So there was a breakdown there. Either Adam didn't relate it right, or I think she wasn't listening closely enough, which is more what I would tend to believe. That she wasn't really taking heed or paying attention to what Adam said, God said. So she added her own thinking. Now, here's where a lot of Christians get in trouble. There'll be something from God, and they begin to add something of their own thoughts to it. And at that point, Satan can lead you by the nose, like a bull with a ring in its nose, and he's leading you around, or a horse with a bit. Whenever we broach into that realm there where we're adding. Now, when it comes to prophecy, one of the things that happens sometimes is people endeavor to step out. They'll be inspired of the Spirit. They sense that inspiration. They begin to speak by him. And partway through, they begin speaking their thoughts, adding it to it. I remember some years ago, there was a brother, and I don't know if he was thinking he was a prophet or what, but he began to do that. He would start out good and end up like God's mad at you. And so one of the home groups, and I, this person reported to me, and I went and I sat in like two different times just to observe. You know, we can't be quick to any judgment or go, he said, she said. And so here he did it. So I pulled him aside and said, oh, brother, I really appreciate, you know, your heart. And you know, I know you began, you're speaking by the Spirit. But at this point, you went from the Spirit to your own thoughts. And it would always come out the same, like God's mad at you. God's mad at you. That's where it would always end up with this guy. And he got offended and never came back. It's really sad. He didn't receive correction. But, and I'm just using it as one example. I mean, all over the world, that stuff happens. People add their thinking to things. That will always get you in trouble, and it will always open the door for the enemy to begin lying to you because you have your thinking mixed in. And we can do that and not realize it. So what happens then, the devil brings a lie. And here's this first doctrine of the devil I want to bring out, that there's no consequence. He said, you won't die. And that was a lie. But the lie was there's no consequence. Therefore, there's no accountability. So therefore, you can do what you want to do, Eve. You can do what I'm suggesting for you to do because there's no consequence. You won't die. And God clearly established there is blessing for obedience and consequence for disobedience right from the beginning. Now, today, what we have, these doctrines of devils are like on steroids, to use that expression. It's like nuclear bombed out into the world where you have people thinking they can like destroy buildings and injure people, nothing should happen. In some major cities, like New York in particular, people murdered and get out of jail the next day. Now, that's got to frustrate police to no end. Work and risking your life, and there's not going to be any consequence. Why even bother? But see, that's how bad it is. That's how much it is a doctrine of the devil or an instruction, a leading word from Satan. There's no consequence. You can do what you want to do. I would submit to your consideration, you can't do what you want to do, or there is consequence. Now, please understand, as I say that, God is a merciful Father. And if you'll look to him, he'll bring you out. And we're going to see as we go on down through the forgiveness of the Lord. But that's where one of the places it starts. I can do what I want, and there's not going to be a consequence. So the serpent says, you'll not die. For God does know that in the day you shall eat, that your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, the knowing good and evil, the word knowing, it's not dealing with like knowledge like you think of that, but it's rather to decide good and evil. That you would have the authority to decide what you think is right or wrong. And that is the one thing God said man cannot do, because he is God. He is our authority. He is all wisdom. It's for him to decide what's good or evil. It's not for us. And again, this is a place the enemy comes in. So he says, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree desired to be, make one wise, she took the fruit and did eat and gave her husband to eat. And their eyes were open. They died spiritually. Well, what we see here, this second doctrine of devils here I want to bring out, is that you can be wise. You can judge everything what's right and wrong. It's a pride thing that I am somebody. I judge. Nobody tells me anything. Should be no restriction on me. And that's in full-blown force now. We have people coming up with all this stuff based on what? You know, their thinking, their views. Based on what? For us, everything's based on the Word of God. And we like to think our nation was based on the Word of God, and to a large degree it was. But you have the emergence of all these people who it's not based on the Word of God. Now, there's still many who are, like yourselves, there's still many who are, but a lot of this, like within the colleges where this is coming out, you have these people who've so exalted themselves above God, And there was just last week, there was a football player speaking at a commencement in a college. He was the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. And it was a Catholic college. And he's sharing about what the Bible says and happened to make some point about, you know, like women being blessed to be a wife and a mother and that. And he wasn't saying don't have a career. He was just acknowledging that. Well, the worldly people went ballistic. Ballistic. How dare he say something like that? Well, if you believe the Bible, that's what the Bible says. He wasn't saying, well, you can't have a career. You need to be barefoot and pregnant all your life. It's not that. He was extolling the virtue of motherhood and family and being a wife. He was extolling that as a high calling in God. And they went ballistic. These are the people supposedly educating young people, but it's an indoctrination. Now, praise God, there are still many in those places who have had Christian influence and upbringing who are standing up. Now, you won't hear about that on the 6 o'clock news, but they're out there. Yeah, bless me, there was a certain frat group down, I think it's North Carolina, and they raised an American flag out on the campus and singing a Star Spangled Banner, and these people are cheering, and the crazy people are going berserk. How dare they do that? Well, my point is this doctrine of devils is like explosive right now, and the fruit of it, we really see around us, very, very dangerous time. The need is revival. The need is the move of God and people getting saved and delivered out of the wrong thinking and thus out of the clutches of the enemy. And then also it says he was a tree desired, it would be good and pleasant to the eyes. The third major aspect of the doctrine of devils, there's something good besides God. Oh, that over there. This would be good. That would be good. Something good. When you begin to get your eyes off of him foremost, it'd be real subtle. Satan's always subtle. Oh, this nice place. Isn't this place nice? Oh, this experience. And you can tell when someone's beginning to lust it because they're no sooner done with it, they're thinking about doing it again. And the thing with drug addiction, I mean, now it's big moves, legalized pot and all that, that's it's reported, and I know it's true, that most people get into harder drugs, start out with alcohol and then pot. And the thing is, the human body wants a greater high, a greater high, a greater high. So they'll keep going deeper and deeper unto destruction, complete destruction, whether it be their brain or their body, families, finances, unto complete destruction. But see, it's subtle in the beginning. You're looking for something you would deem as good and pleasant. That speaks in Hebrews about the pleasures of sin, that Moses forsook the pleasures of sin for a season to identify with God and his people. So we have to recognize this. It's in the things you would think, oh, that's good. That would be good. Now, God's not against good things. He created good things. But the thing is, they can never be a source to us of joy and peace. It's something you can enjoy, but it can't be our source. If you're thinking about those things a lot, it is your source. Because your mind's going there, and it's going to take your body there. And that's something for everyone to look to the Holy Spirit and help you judge yourself. I'm not casting judgment towards anyone. That's for us to judge ourselves. But I'm trying to point out, it can come in so, so subtle. Well, it says here that as we look on down, the Lord came to speak to them, to fellowship. And he says to Adam, where are you? And he says, I was afraid, I was naked. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat the tree? I commanded you not. And he said, the woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me the tree and I did eat. Now, in the very beginning, man fixed blame for his sin on someone else. And you've heard me say this many times. As long as you do that, you will never change. I say it as an absolute. If for change to happen, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. You don't point the finger and blame other people for what you're dealing with. So Adam blamed everyone he knew, the woman and God. That's the only people he knew. He blamed God who gave him the woman for leading him into that. And he says, what have you done? The serpent gave me and I did eat. But let's see which verse here. The one verse here, it says that he hearkened to Eve because he hearkened to her voice. And that's down verse 17. He listened to Eve. Now, if Eve was saying, what do you want for dinner tonight, Adam? Well, yeah, it's good to listen. But this was the word of God to Adam to guard the garden, to guard their heart, and to not partake of that tree. The one thing he couldn't do was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you'll decide what's good and bad or right or wrong. So that was the boundary God had set. And Adam listened to Eve, who didn't have that word clear in her heart. She added her thought to it. So the devil was able to slip a lie in there because she didn't have that right in her own mind, the word of God. So Adam listens to her and ends up, the devil speaking through his wife leads Adam to sin, which brought the whole humanity into sin. Now, I'll just throw in here, the great virtue and value of the virgin birth was sin nature that came down through man was bypassed, and Jesus was given a body through his mother Mary, but the spirit came from the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not going to go off teaching, I'm just going to throw that in there. So I'm going to have a lot of sort of big picture stuff with this particular message. Who you listen to? Now, I want to again pose, believers can listen to devils and don't know it. And you could be used of the enemy to cause hurt or harm to other people, and you don't even know you did it. You walk away, you don't even know what you were doing, the influence that you had. To walk in the Spirit, we should always, and to walk in love, be aware of how is our communication influencing someone else. And you can't fall back on, well, I meant to say it right. Now, what did come out? Okay, that's what you have to evaluate. Because many times, and Brother Ed Cole used to say, people judge others by their action and themselves by their intentions. And thus excuse themselves in their behavior. Well, you could listen to the enemy and not know it, but that doesn't mean you're possessed. It's just that you were listening. You were listening. Did you ever have a commercial you heard over and over on TV, and you're going down the road, and there's that jingle playing in your head? I remember telling Mike Dacey, man, we need some Holy Ghost jingles. Yeah, a jingle like Things Go Better with Coke or whatever. You know, these jingles with commercials, they understand that and how music brings a recall from the soul in a greater way. So you have that music playing, and they try to sell product. Well, that can work with songs, but a jingle's like just one line, with a certain melody hook to it. We need Christian jingles. But see, words can come out of our mouth you don't even know. Now, one example, Peter, heard Jesus say, he began to tell them after it came out of Peter's mouth, he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus then, and only then, begins to talk about his death. And Peter, in his own thinking, this didn't fit how he saw it going. And he begins to rebuke the Lord. This is in Matthew 16. He begins to rebuke the Lord. And the Lord rebukes the devil in him. Not in him like possession, but speaking through him. And he brought that out, that you don't savor the things of God. You know, valuing his word, valuing his heart, his character, and all that will keep you from entertaining these thoughts. But see, it was a selfish thought for Peter. I like having the master with me. If we hit a storm, no problem. I need tax money, no problem. I need food, no problem. See, this was like glorious for him. And the mere thought of Jesus dying, now he didn't hear him out. I'm going to be raised from the dead and come to live inside of you. But he was stopped by his own thinking right away. And a big reason why the Pharisees could not receive, or many of the Pharisees, some did, could not receive Jesus as the Christ, he didn't fit their thinking. They knew some of the scriptures. They weren't like all evil. They wanted to do the right thing. A lot of them had good intentions. But Jesus coming as he did not fit their thinking. He didn't come like as a king and exalt them. It's about what it amounted to. It didn't fit their thinking. So they ended up not receiving him and rejecting him because he didn't fit. This is where it's very, very dangerous for us to form our thinking of how we think things should be.